So welcome to the Feast of Christ, the King. This Sunday is set aside, and it hasn't been set aside for all that long. Many times people seem to think that these feasts that we have go back 2,000 years. They don't. This particular feast goes back in the Roman Catholic Church to about 1925, and then, of course, us Anglicans, we accepted it shortly thereafter, because we're good at following something that's good and then making it better. I had to add that. So it's not even in my thing here. So, but this is about the true kingship of Jesus Christ today, and that's what we're here to look at. It's so important for us to understand that this is a proclamation that occurs at the end of our liturgical year. Here it is only November, and we're coming to the end, but we're preparing for Advent and getting ready for the Christmas and the birth of the Messiah, the one that all hopes would be in for the future, right? So we're at the cross with the criminals, and next week we'll be at the birth of Jesus Christ. Sort of a strange thing that occurs in our mental being with the way that the year works out. But it's always so important for our hope. And so it is appropriate for us to come to the end of this liturgical year and to celebrate. Jeremiah, in our Old Testament lesson today, the prophet, has some very inspiring words for not only the Colossians, but for us as well. Because see, in these 6 or 7 verses that he has here, he sort of sums up Jesus' whole life for us and for them in those 6 passages. So simple and so clear, and he puts it in a poetic form. I could never do that. So, but it comes upon the prophet saying that God's very unhappy. Who is he unhappy with? He's very unhappy with the shepherds, those of us that stand here and are called shepherds for leading the church. Because why? What they have done is to scatter them. And God has helped them get scattered because they needed to get away. You might remember earlier in the passage, in the Bible, it's talking about the false prophets and the false gospels. And Paul was very concerned with that, with all his communities that he writes to. And so we wanted to make sure that when Jeremiah, we look back on this stuff, we're connected to Paul's stuff today because of that. Paul wants us to also be aware of who we are and that we've been scattered and we need to be focused. And we'll talk more about that. So God goes on in the prophet and says, "And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Who will? A branch of David. And we know who that branch is, right? That branch is Jesus Christ for all of us. And as we begin to prepare for this new year and the arrival of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we are getting ready for this Christmas season. Our New Testament lesson, as I said, is from Colossians. And Paul is very good about writing. So again, he can use poems. He can go all over the place with his writing capabilities. I wish I had a share of that, but I don't. Many of us are familiar with the things that he says here because we oftentimes hear them in the lyrics of songs, old-time hymns, as well as many of the new songs that we hear from Hillsong and those as well. We praise Jesus as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And that's what this Sunday is about. He's to be praised as the head of the church. He reveals the image and fullness to us of what God might be. He reigns over heaven and earth, over life and over death. The Greek word for image that Paul uses here is icon, which Paul uses to mean representation or manifestation. He's not saying that when we look at Jesus Christ, we see God. What he's saying is that when we look at Jesus Christ, we see what God would look like through Jesus Christ. After all, he is the Son, right? Makes sense. Many of our children look like us when they're born. So, Jesus is that perfect manifestation of God. In him, all things are held together. To the Christians of Colossae, who felt trapped and controlled by principalities and powers, it was glorious and a needed reminder. It is for us also. I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted from the last 2 weeks of the election. Anybody else share that with me? Are you happy it's over for another 2 years? We don't have to listen to all of that. Unspoken truths? No. Spoken non-truths. Just the opposite. Our principalities and our powers have different names, but they're just as real, aren't they? Politics. Yep. I've never been a political one. Right here in this church, in a pew back there, some 20 years ago, Ruth Fowler was mayor of this community, and she turned around and said, I had somebody quit the council. Would you take his place? And I looked right at her and I said, I could never take a politician's place. I don't have that many shades of gray. I'm sorry. And so I turned her down. We have politics, economy, security, destiny, fate, forces all beyond our control, aren't they? Does anybody feel they can control any of those things? If you can, step up now because I want to put you on the next ballot. We often feel trapped and manipulated by them, don't we? By everything that is spoken, everything that is done, everything that happens. In that way, we're not so different than the Colossians were. Those who fled religious persecution to come to this new land, and we call America. Folks, unless you haven't seen it, we are being persecuted in America today for our beliefs, for our faith. Every day, you can get on and you can hear something about our faith being negative. I wake up every morning this week wondering when I'm going to hear the first person say, we should not celebrate Thanksgiving. What do we have to give thanks for? A bunch of religious folks coming over to this country and taking property away from Native Americans, right? Isn't that the way of the world today? Isn't that what you're hearing? We're not talking about the relationship that we forged with the people who are already here. And keep in mind, God's people, according to Jeremiah, have been scattered everywhere. So why does it not surprise us that we were scattered to America? It's what we're done, it happened to us. And God called us back. He wanted us to be here. And Thanksgiving is an important part of that. Some people may view the world as either indifferent or hostile. In the first view, those folks see a universe that simply just doesn't care anymore. They've given up. In the latter view, people believe that no matter how good we are, things are always going to go against us. I believe that we as Christians don't live in either one of those worlds because we honestly, truly believe that the world is good with God at the center. We always find the goodness in all that happens, right? No matter what side of the election you're on, whatever your politics were, you're both unhappy, right? It works. Now, a couple people seem to be extremely happy, but for the most of us, we're all pretty unhappy because the election didn't go our way or their way or whatever it was supposed to do. We're unhappy. But in the middle of all of it, God's still there. And my hope is all of those politicians who have been talking heads for so long will remember one thing when they take their jobs. It's not about the power. It's about the power of Jesus Christ and the power of God. And the power of God begins with love. God sent Jesus to reconcile us and to redeem this world. That's what our politicians should be first about. Reconciling our government. Good luck. That's the gift that we get from Jesus going to the cross. The cross is not about a defeat. This morning in the adult Bible study, they talked about the resurrection. That's the importance of the fight. Because you see, without the resurrection, we did indeed lose the fight, didn't we? But Jesus won the battle, he won the fight, and he was victorious. It was God's victory over Satan. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Making peace by the blood of the cross. I hope that happens. We have a tremendous hope and comfort in knowing that Jesus is the Lord, right? When we surrender all things to him, and I mean surrender all things, just not the stuff we feel comfortable with, right? When we surrender it all to him, we have the reassurance of knowing that we are safe in God's hands. We know that he himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We need to remember that. All things hold together through Jesus Christ. He has the power that shapes us, shapes our lives, just like the potter who molds the clay. It may not always seem that there is a safety net. I know I've met a lot of people that really feel that there are no safety nets out there anymore. We're all in deep trouble. But I believe that we have a safety net. Often we sense a feeling of hopelessness. I'd ask you to raise your hands and tell me how many of you felt that on election day, or the day after, or the fifth day as they're still counting ballots, or as we go through other runoffs, right? I know it's been tough on many people, and some people have gotten physically depressed. And we have to keep them in our prayers to hope that that stress will be given to Jesus and they'll come through it okay. Our well-planned lives seem to be out of kilter right now for one reason or another. Our hopes and our dreams certainly seem to be crushed, don't they? Just turn on the news. Or if you're like me, you don't turn it on, and then you don't get depressed. Our relationships don't seem to turn out quite the way that we expected them to. So often today I see young people. I was just talking to some 20-plus year old girls down at Hoverly's Country Christian, and they are very depressed because the one girl said to me, "There aren't men like you in the world anymore." And I was like, "You're looking at me, I'm in a Santa costume." "What do you see?" And the one girl said, "Well, I saw when the person with special needs came in, you invited him to play baseball at your miracle field. When the little girl came in and her grandmother had died, you wrapped her arms around her, even though you have a barrier between you and her, to give her comfort, to know that her grandmother's never really gone. She's still in her heart." And just in a few hours, those girls were able to, and they want somebody who has that passion and compassion. And I want that for them too. So hopefully, pretty young, there'll be some good guys out there. Trust me. So, you think? I think. So, you know, I trust that God's got this in his hands, okay? And he's going to bring us through some of this negative stuff that we're in right now. He does have that power to overturn the acts of violence. Look at all the acts of violence just in this last week. The University of Virginia up north with the stabbings. It's just everywhere. People running over little girls in parades. It's unreal. Where are we? Where is God in our families? Where is God in our churches? What are we doing as the shepherds to change that? We can't ask the government to do that. We as the shepherds have to figure out how do we get back to where we were. And we need God's help for that. Because, let's face it, we aren't in control. The King of Kings is in control. Paul is poetically reminding the Colossians of the great hope and comfort that can be found in Jesus Christ. He writes, "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from the glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins." One of those acts of violence really tore my life apart recently. One of the women that I've been working with for about 7 or 8 years in addiction had finally got it right. She has 4 children, which her grandparents are raising. She's been in and out of addiction, but for the last 19 months, she's been clean. She got a job. She was taking a bus to work every day downtown. And she was waiting for a change of buses in the downtown area, minding her own business, and somebody came along and started firing randomly at two people in front of this store, and she was in the path. And she took a bullet to her heart and died. What violence and sadness. And what do you say to the parents? What do you say to the little grandchildren? There's hope. There's hope that God will bring us through this, that Jesus will find a way for us to see the light in the darkness once again. I know that. I believe that. It matters to Paul that the Colossians believe that as well, that they can find their comfort, their strength, and their hope, their courage in what Jesus has done for us, knowing that through it all, they will be made strong by the glorious power of the Father. Not Jesus' power, but the Father's power given to each and every one of us. So when we know that we're in the hands of God, in loving God, the God we've seen in Jesus Christ, we can live and love and die without fear. We can handle all that life brings us, takes from us, or even asks of us, in the trust that God's grace is sufficient and God's love is both present and powerful. Christ reigns now and forever. In the midst of all our battles and the choices that we have to make, we can always remember that. It's where our hope lies. It's where our future lies. It's where our country lies today. Our country doesn't lie in Republicans and Democrats. Our country lies in the thoughtfulness, the caring, and compassion of each individual that wears that moniker. And if we go back to true Christianity, we'll be able to see a bipartisan government because we'll be thinking about who? Us. And I trust that God promises that in Him all things hold together. What else do we have to hold on to? In His love and grace, we are also held together. In Him, the creation, the death, and the resurrection make sense. He is the creator, the sustainer, and our final goal, the redeemer, our crossing line. In the beginning of the prophet Jeremiah, he puts it this way: Jesus is the firstborn of creation of the church as we know it. In Him, all things were created. All things were created through Him, but more importantly, for Him. He is before all things. Remember, right in the beginning of the Bible, God says we're going to make them man in the image of us. So there's more than one person there. Truly in Him, all things hold together, and we find reconciliation. Reconciliation is where we need to be in this country today. He came to reconcile the entire world with God and to repair the relationship that God wants so much to have with each and every one of us, a relationship of love, a relationship of love that we even see in our gospel on that cross. We see the love between Jesus and the criminal who recognized who Jesus was, right? And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will be with me forever in paradise." That's the aim of the message that Paul is trying to get to the Colossians, that we can put all our trust in Jesus. All of it. Not just some of it. All of it. He is the full image of God. God's love, God's redemption, God's salvation. God has given each and every one of the Colossians now, as we see, the opportunity to inherit what only the Jews were thought to inherit, right? Wasn't it all about? God was going to rescue the Jews. And then, whoop, there's a change of heart. God has decided to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to not only rescue the Jews, but to bring all of us into the inheritance. It's an invitation. It's an invitation right now for you to put your passion back into place, to put your compassion back into place as we go to celebrate Thanksgiving. Each and every day, make it a point to show God's love to somebody you meet. Those girls at Overly's said they liked something they saw. What did they see? They saw a man in a beard and a red costume that shows the same love when he's sitting on that seat as he shows every single day of his life. The suit doesn't make me who I am. Although I tell everybody, if they knock my hat off, it's like taking a Superman's cape. So just keep that in mind, okay? That's just the humor part. But it's important that that love, that compassion, that passion for what we believe in is sold by us. Not in a way of selling a used car, but in the way of supporting people with love. Letting them know that if they've got something really heavy on their heart, it's okay to talk. It's okay to be embraced. COVID does not block the love of Christ. It doesn't. Even if we get sick, it still doesn't. So, on this feast of Christ the King, let us be about praising and exalting his name and be about doing good in all that we do, everything. Let us be reminded about this great invitation that we've all been given. No matter where you are, no matter how grumpy you might be, nobody's grumpy here, right? Not here today anyway. I will be checking the grumpiness level on the outside. Now, no matter how you're feeling, find a way to bring up that hope, that courage, and that strength that Paul talks about today in our lives. Amen? Let us pray. Oh God, on this day, which lifts up and reminds us that Christ is indeed Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we pray for renewed faithfulness. Help us to give attention to his reign in our daily lives. Free us from the desire to hold any part of our lives back from your rule. Empower us with love, enable us with your grace, and equip us for joyful service. In Jesus' name, amen.